The following is an encore edition of Call the Roll, first broadcast May 5th, 2012. Hello, and thank you for listening to Call the Roll, a public affairs program produced by the Columbus City Council and aired here on Freedom FM. I'm your host, John Ivanek, Communications Director for the City Council. On this week's show, two new pieces of legislation helping to make our neighborhoods stronger and safer, and helping area gardens grow. Plus, Columbus kids, it's time to ready, set, learn. We begin this week's show with the story about how Columbus residents and business owners will have helped cleaning graffiti in their neighborhoods. Council members Zachary M. Klein and Michelle M. Mills have created the Graffiti Assistance Program, a comprehensive graffiti removal program that requires property owners to remove graffiti from occupied structures and creates a way for the city to remove the blight with the owner's permission. Currently, the city requires the removal of graffiti from vacant structures within 30 days. The new law will require graffiti to be removed from occupied structures as well. The ordinance gives property owners 30 days to abate the graffiti. Property owners can grant the city permission to remove the graffiti at the city's expense. Council members approved a $500,000 general fund budget amendment to support the program. If a property owner chooses not to remove the graffiti themselves or with the city's help, the city can obtain an order from the environmental court to remove the nuisance and charge the property owner for the cost of the removal. Here's Councilmember Klein, followed by Councilmember Mills.
This legislation is here based on community input. When we started back in 2011 with a series of community meetings, there were certain recurring themes that we heard no matter where we were in the city of Columbus, and one of them was the problem of graffiti vandalism in neighborhoods. Every city has graffiti, but it reached a point to where it was a tipping point that citizens wanted to address, and Councilmember Mills and I held several hearings to get community input, not only to see really what the level of graffiti is, but also to solicit solutions from the community. So this, as part of the community dialogue, we heard that, you know, graffiti, as defined in the city code prior to this legislation tonight, was permissible on owner-occupied buildings. We also heard that people didn't want it permissible, but were also sensitive to the fact that folks that were victims of graffiti vandalism were exactly that. They were victims, or perhaps they were physically and financially unable to remediate the graffiti. What we did was, I think, formulate in coordination with City Council and the Mayor's Office a plan to prohibit graffiti on occupied structures, but at the same time take funding and put it into a graffiti abatement program to allow individuals that are victims of graffiti to receive assistance, to receive graffiti abatement assistance, so that we recognize at the same time the growing problem of graffiti, so that it's addressed and remediated to clean up our neighborhoods, to get rid of blight, to promote economic development, but at the same time are sensitive to the fact that folks may not be able to physically or financially afford to do it. Councilmember Mills has been by my side, working together with us, me and her, all the way, and I'd like to publicly thank you for being there for me on this, or being there for the city and for me on this particular piece of legislation. I'd like to thank the Mayor's Office and thank Director Safford for the work that they've played, as well as the time and the sweat and the effort that the Mayor's staff and our staff have put in to do this. They've done a terrific job, and I think, you know, formulating a comprehensive plan to address graffiti vandalism in the city of Columbus. And I'd like to turn the microphone over to Councilmember Mills if she'd like to comment.
Thank you, Councilmember Klein. I am very happy that what we're presenting today does not punish those who have already been victims of graffiti. And because what we believe is key to increasing our public safety is making sure that beautification and that eyes are out and people can see things and there's no communication of tagging or any of that that adds to trouble in our neighborhood. So I'm glad to see that we were able to listen to the community and add some of those concerns that they had about victimizing those who are already victims of the crime and of the vandalism of graffiti. So thank you again for your hard work on this, and I'm looking forward to the work and engagement with the other community leaders who have helped us in identifying problem areas and eyesores in their community. So thank you again.
Thank you, Councilmember Mills. And while graffiti abatement programs are not new to municipalities in the United States, it is new to the City of Columbus, and we'll be working through this. It's a new program, but we're optimistic that this is going to be a successful program in remediating graffiti vandalism, cleaning up our neighborhoods, making them safer, and getting rid of blight and nuisances.
The Columbus City Council has improved the loitering in aid of a drug offense ordinance that prosecutors believe will allow police officers to effectively investigate suspected criminal activity without violating the constitutional rights of those being questioned. According to the legislation, the code change improves on current language by differentiating between lawful activities and loitering in an aid of a drug offense or the intent to participate in other illegal activities. In addition to increased penalties, it also requires 10 days jail time without eligibility for work release if the violation takes place within 1,000 feet of specific community facilities such as playgrounds or schools. It's also important to note that no arrest will be made until a suspect has had the opportunity to explain his or her conduct or actions to a police officer. Again, here's Councilmember Mills.
Over the past year, the city's attorney's office and my office, and again, thanking the city attorney's office with giving credence to their support in presenting this legislation this evening. Together we worked to create an ordinance that would allow police officers to effectively investigate suspected criminal activity without violating the constitutional rights of those being questioned. To comply with court rulings, the City of Columbus needed to update our loitering in aid of drug offenses code section. But as always, we wanted to come up with a law that could be a good tool for our police in being responsive to our citizens. Current law does not differentiate between loitering lawfully and loitering in aid of drug offenses or intent to participate in illegal activities. The proposed law makes specific actions illegal as long as an officer allows the perpetrator a chance to explain his actions. No person can be convicted if it appears that the explanation provided is true and the surrounding circumstances were lawful. Additionally, this proposed law will increase the penalties for all loitering in aid of a drug offense violations from an M4 to an M1. This will raise the maximum jail time from 30 days to 6 months and the maximum fine from $250 to $1,000. At this time, I'll offer an opportunity for City Attorney's Office to add any additional comments.
Thank you, Chair Mills. Mr. President Ginther, members of council, this area of the law where people believe that you can just pull somebody off the street because you think they're doing something gets us in a lot of trouble. So what has happened here is through the leadership of Chairman Mills, there was extensive public hearing and comment, and we believe that by this ordinance, we have a constitutionally valid loitering in aid of drug offense law. But its effectiveness will depend upon a well-trained police operation. Police officers will have to be trained as to how to properly use this law so that we don't get in trouble by trying to use it. But this is an improvement over what we have. We believe it is defensible constitutionally, and we think it's a good move forward.
Thank you, City Attorney. Yes, I do want to add that there will be additional training related to this. And I also want to say that in the process of the hearing and hearing from the community, we did add additional facilities in there in terms of where activities should or should not be occurring, including community centers, which was some of the feedback we heard from community leaders to add in addition to schools. If there are no other comments or questions, that move for passage. President Ginther, I'm sorry.
Chairwoman Mills, I would like to just ask one question regarding training and how we will go about making sure, obviously, we can include it now in the work of cadets at the academy, but for our officers that are out on the street now, what the department's approach is going to be to including this in probably a number of things. We give ongoing training and education to our officers serving us currently. Deputy Director Speaks.
Thank you, President Ginther. We will be utilizing the Police Legal Bureau, which the city attorney places attorneys with in the Division of Police. They will be doing trainings throughout our division on this law. And on behalf of the division, we would like to thank you very much for a new tool. And secondly, the manner in which it's worded will hopefully keep officers and the city from being sued. So thank you for both of those issues taking consideration in this ordinance.
And just to thank you, Chairwoman Mills, this is has been mentioned by the city attorney and deputy director Speaks, and even in your own comments, striking the balance between something that's enforceable and effective for members of the Division of Police to use, but also respectful and taking into consideration, you know, the limits of that tool that we're giving our officers. And I think you've done a great job listening from all sides, putting something together that will be effective, but also take into account the limits. So thank you, Chairwoman.
Thank you, President Ginther. It is quite a balance between policing and prosecution that we have to monitor on a regular basis.
The City of Columbus continues to work with neighboring cities and municipalities in the region to increase cooperation and protect the economy. Late last year, a number of communities signed on to find a way to protect jobs and develop the region by discussing anti-poaching legislation. The idea has garnered widespread support from city managers and other politicians. Steve Campbell from Mayor Coleman's office gave council members an update on the effort as Columbus leaders considered legislation to allow the mayor to enter into an agreement to add more jobs and help protect the Columbus economy. Also joining in on the conversation, Councilmember Klein and President Ginther.
Since January 2011, Mayor Coleman has worked with several municipalities to explore how our jurisdictions can work together and cooperate on important matters of attracting new jobs and investment to the region. Understanding that economic incentives play an important role, we are working to focus these tools on new jobs and not to use them on to take existing jobs from each other. This agreement is about competition. The right competitors for the right jobs. For our region to prosper, we must focus on growing Central Ohio's economy. Our competition should be the fast-growing regions of the United States and around the world, and not each other. By focusing on new jobs, we will grow our economy, we will provide more opportunities for our citizens, and we will broaden our tax base to provide essential neighborhood services. It's also a matter of fairness. Our jurisdictions recognize that the vast majority of businesses within our jurisdictions create and retain jobs without tax breaks. These companies and their employees pay taxes to help fund essential neighborhood services. So we must use these precious incentives to help businesses grow. It's also a matter of how we treat each other. Almost all of our communities can point to times when we have won some fights and lost some fights. When communities allow companies to pit us against each other, our region economy does not grow, and this impacts our quality of life and our ability to provide essential neighborhood services. As reasonable as this sounds, this agreement is challenging. It's a big step. City councils throughout Central Ohio are working to evaluate this agreement, debating it, and asking how it will affect their future. This discussion is good and important, and it will take time. But communities are already stepping forward. Gahanna adopted legislation 2 weeks ago, Groveport last week. Tonight, with your support, Columbus will join these leaders. Hilliard, Grove City, Upper Arlington, Reynoldsburg, Worthington, Bexley, Grandview Heights, Obetz, and New Albany are pursuing similar legislation. Our goal is to sign an agreement in June and have it take effect July 1st. Essentially, the ordinance before you authorizes the mayor to enter into an agreement to focus financial incentives on enticing new jobs and investment to the region, and to end their use to help a local company move existing jobs from one local community to another. As you can imagine, this agreement cannot spell out every scenario, every circumstance, and every what if. And so we've adopted an approach to how to deal with that issue. Recognizing this, the agreement requires us to discuss the problems, the situations, and come to solutions. This agreement requires us to contact each other when we learn of companies that are seeking to move and figure out the best way to address the situation. It also requires the group to meet on a regular basis every 90 days to discuss how the agreement is going, the status of its implementation, and to solve problems. We will continue to strengthen this partnership by working with Franklin County, MORPC, Columbus 2020, and other jurisdictions in our county and those in neighboring counties to grow this agreement and expand our economic cooperation. As we reach agreement, we're going to continue to work on other important efforts. We are exploring how we can work together to make sure that Central Ohio is the most competitive as possible as we compete with other jurisdictions around the country for big jobs to bring lots of investment to the region. We are also working on new approaches to redevelopment so that our jurisdictions can work with property owners to transform former industrial sites and blighted areas and create more economic vibrancy within our existing footprints.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. I agree wholeheartedly that an agreement like this is necessary because it really is a zero-sum game for faux economic development where one company moves across municipality boundaries and takes existing jobs with them, not creating new jobs, but bringing existing jobs with them and receiving economic incentives for those existing jobs. That's not really economic development because the jobs aren't new to the region. One thing that I am concerned about, however, you mentioned that Gahanna and Groveport have adopted, you mentioned several municipalities that are still pending legislation, but there are a few municipalities that have rejected, city councils that have rejected this agreement in place. And just to protect the city of Columbus, what is our potential out should it come to that? Should the list of cities, Bexley, Grandview Heights, Grove City, Hilliard, New Albany, Obetz, Reynoldsburg, Upper Arlington, Worthington, that are still pending legislation, you know, if a number of those or if significant ones of those that we would deem significant reject the legislation, where are we as a city and what's our recourse to reevaluate the agreement? Because the agreement only is strong as its partners.
Absolutely. And Mr. President, Mr. Chairman, I agree with you. The agreement itself is an important document for us to move forward with. The legislation before you tonight, though, does instruct that the mayor not sign the agreement until in his judgment there's significant jurisdictions participating to make this a viable agreement. Of the jurisdictions that have expressed concern about this agreement, we are going to continue to work in good faith to get their councils to adopt this. I believe their city managers have worked very closely and very hard to advance this agreement, and some jurisdictions it may just take more time than others, but we think it's important for us to advance it as a region, but I assure you the mayor will not sign the agreement unless we've reached that critical mass to make this a viable agreement for the city of Columbus.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. Any other questions or comments?
Mr. Chairman.
President.
Chairman Klein, Mr. Campbell, if you could talk a little bit, and you touched on how this agreement would guide the work not only of our city's economic development division, but also Columbus 2020 and our regional economic development strategy. Can you talk a little bit more about 2020's role when this agreement is adopted and how that will potentially change? And then what are your thoughts if favorable consideration is given this evening and the mayor is able to enter into an agreement of how we will use this agreement in our work with both the county and the state? We just, Chairman Klein just brought Quantum Health before us where there's a great partnership between the state and the county and the city with respect to incentives. How would this agreement shape those partnerships and collaborations in the future?
Sure, Mr. President, members of council. With regard to 2020, they are doing incredible work for our region, and their responsibility is to go out and attract new companies to come to Columbus, Ohio, and to take the companies that are here and grow them. I think all of our jurisdictions will be in a better position to partner with them if we're all focused on increasing our economy as well and not having to worry about offering incentives that are very expensive for jobs that are already here. And so we believe this goes hand in hand with the work of 2020. It'll also improve our relationship with the county and the state as all of us begin to align our focus to bring new jobs to the area. There's always a risk that a company wants to move or wants to leave the region. And I think if we can establish this level of trust and dialogue with each other, if in those rare occasions when a big company wants to leave the region, it'll allow us to sit down and solve that problem with the state and the county.
To- The Columbus City Council has passed legislation to support an important early childhood education program. Columbus Kids Ready, Set, Learn is designed to increase the detection of developmental delays and speech, hearing, or vision problems among preschoolers within the Columbus City School District and to help get them the intervention services they need to be ready to learn. It's a partnership between the City Council, United Way of Central Ohio, and the school district. Council members approved the use of $250,000 to support the program's mission. From the United Way is CEO Janet Jackson, followed by Councilmember Klein and Priscilla R. Tyson.
On behalf of the United Way of Central Ohio, I would like to thank Council President Genther, Council Members Tyson and Klein, and all members of Council for supporting a budget amendment earlier this year to fund Columbus Kids Ready, Set, Learn. Tonight's legislation permits us to finalize the contract with the Department of Recreation and Parks. We appreciate very much Council's willingness to join with the Franklin County Commissioners, Columbus City Schools, the business community, and others to support this critical work. Today, there are many, many children who enter kindergarten not fully prepared. In 2010, 34% of the children who took the readiness assessment for literacy scored in the lowest band or category. This means those children did not have the basic foundational skills necessary in order to learn. And unfortunately, we know that when our kids come to kindergarten not ready to learn, they are not reading at level by third grade, they are not making that successful transition into middle school, and quite frankly, they become our dropouts. Columbus Kids is perfectly positioned to address this problem. It is an ambitious, first-of-its-kind initiative focusing on working with all 2.5 to 4-year-old children in the Columbus City School District. We are unaware of any school district in this country, especially a large urban district such as Columbus, that has an initiative such as Columbus Kids. An initial screening and periodic learning checkups are used to identify developmental delays, behavior issues, and speech, hearing, or vision problems. When issues are identified, we provide materials that parents can use with their children and refer them to service providers when necessary. In just over 2 years, we have completed more than 5,000 screenings. Even at this early age, we know Columbus Kids is already producing positive results. According to a program evaluation by the Voinovich School of Leadership and Public Affairs at Ohio University, children are making improvements from one evaluation to the next. A comparison of first and second screening scores found that on the second screening, the number of children who are on track for all measures increased by 10%. The number of children identified as needing monitoring or referral decreased. Columbus Kids is currently operating in the Central City Columbus, Wineland Park, South London, and Southside neighborhoods. This month, we began working on the West Side in the Franklinton and Hilltop neighborhoods. When fully implemented by January 2014, Columbus Kids will be positioned to provide services to an estimated 16,700 children annually. Columbus Kids represents our community's willingness to take on the hard issues and to work collaboratively to develop innovative solutions. Your support ensures that this work will continue. With your vote tonight, you are also making an investment that will help us to reduce future costs for our community and make certain we will have a strong and well-prepared workforce. Again, on behalf of the United Way of Central Ohio, and for all of those 2.5 to 4-year-old citizens of Columbus, thank you for your support of Columbus Kids Ready, Set, Learn and this ordinance.
And I'd like to turn the microphone over to Councilmember Tyson, whose leadership on this particular issue has been unquestionable. Councilmember Tyson.
Thank you, Councilmember Klein. And I also want to say thank you to President Genther on this. And I'm going to, but again, thank you to our President and CEO of the United Way for your work in making sure that our young people from 2.5 to 4 years old have the opportunity to be successful in life. I mean, tonight's council meeting, certainly we have, as you've sat and listened, we have focused on from the young people at Afrocentric, the Nubians. We focused on the Angel in You and making sure that our young women have an opportunity to be successful and in the Healthy Weights and Healthy Children's program. And all those programs are essential into making sure that young people have an opportunity to be successful, and that we'll certainly be again to hit our goal of 90% of our young people graduating from high school. And your work in this particular initiative will continue to ensure that we reach that goal. I think people don't realize how important it is, but you have certainly stated that this evening, how important it is that our young people come to school well prepared. I think when we grew up, our parents made sure we were prepared to go to school. It's a little bit different now, and I think that it's so important that the other public partners are working with you to ensure that every person has an opportunity to be successful, especially in Columbus, Ohio. So thank you for your work. And I thank my council members for supporting this very, very important initiative for our children. Thank you.
And finally, some 75 local garden groups are getting a jump on the spring planting season thanks to the City Council and partnerships with Franklin County and various organizations. Councilmember Tyson was on hand to announce the winners of community garden grants. The Scott's Miracle-Gro Company donated all the soil, mulch, and other materials for the applicants. In addition, 43 projects were chosen to receive monetary awards and access to educational programming through the Franklin Park Conservatory and Botanical Gardens, made possible by financial support from the Institute for Active Living. Here's Councilmember Tyson.
I am pleased to represent Columbus City Council at this particular event, as well as around community gardening. It is something that I certainly value, and in 2007, I put an amendment through Columbus City Council for $5,000 because I had met with a number of individuals who said to me, they were the friends of our parks, that said, we've been working in our parks, we've been growing flowers, we've been putting an investment into our parks, and the city has not participated. So with that, we took $5,000. And remember, that was before we passed our tax increase, so we didn't have a lot of money. But to show a commitment, we put $5,000 into the budget, and we worked with community partners. And for those partners, we started, about 14 individuals were the recipients, and they had to, whatever amount they got in the grant, they had to either perform a service to and give in-kind service to match that grant. So that started out in 2008, and we had 14 recipients. In 2009, we then had I put $10,000 in, so that was great. And we also said that we should add community gardening to this. And so from there, think about that, from $5,000 to $10,000 until today, we have about $100,000 in community gardens that will be in this community that has grown from that initial investment. So we can never doubt what a small, as Margaret Mead once said, never doubt what a small group of committed people can do. They can change the world if you give them that opportunity. And so that group in 2008 are the reason why we have moved this forward. I also want to share that Columbus City Council has been a huge supporter of Franklin Park Conservatory. We have definitely funded the master plan. And so as you look at the gardens that are growing here, we have been a huge investor in making sure that the Scott's Miracle-Gro Gardens would be here and continue to be sustained. So community gardening is very important to our city.
We are out of time for this edition of Call the Roll. If you have a question or a comment, please email us at calltheroll@columbus.gov. That's callthe roll@columbus.gov. And don't forget, you can follow the Columbus City Council on our Facebook and our Twitter pages. On behalf of the entire Columbus City Council, I'm your host, John Ivanek. Thanks for listening to Freedom FM, and have a great weekend.